You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It is time for Stage Direction.
Hello.
Hello, hello. It always feels like such a long time.
I know, 2 weeks. It bids the heart a fond farewell.
That's right. And I tell you what, you've got so much to talk about.
We do.
That I'm tempted to just drop a small talk and just defer to you.
Okay. All right. Great.
My lips are sealed.
Seal them up. Zip them right away.
Apart from smart-ass comments.
Always welcome.
Cool.
This is the theatre. First, I'm going to talk about... I'm going to briefly retouch back on something that I brought up last time, which is Nosferatu Looking for Love.
Yes.
The wonderful solo show by Rhiannon McCall, which ran at Basement in the first week of the Comedy Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to go along, see it. One of the most intense solo performances.
Really?
Yeah. So incredibly funny. She is in that character.
That's so cool.
Beautifully. You can see the sweat dripping from behind her makeup. She's got white like body paint just like all over her, on her hands, and so every time that she's touching the microphone stand, it's just leaving behind these like ghostly imprints on mics, on costumes, on if she happens to touch you. It was one of the moments where I forget how close performers are allowed to get to you. She was coming right up close to me, and I was like, I could see the pause on her face. It was incredible. Has two of one of my favorite gags that have been that I've been lucky enough to see. One was because it's Nosferatu looking for love.
Yeah.
She's trying to find love. She's trying to learn how to be a good partner. And so one of the bits is Nosferatu says, "I have learned that to be a good date, you must be a good listener." And so as Nosferatu walks up into the aisle of the studio seats and just like stands, and as everybody is laughing to this bit, just starts replicating people's laughs and turning to face them like one-to-one. So, and I've got quite a distinctive laugh. Like I'll laugh like it sounds like a machine gun. I'll go like that.
Yeah.
And I laughed like that, and she just spun round, replicated that, and stared me dead in the eyes.
Wow.
And I felt true fear. And I was like, I've never laughed and been frightened like this at the same time.
That's wild.
And then the other one, she, Nosferatu gets a call to be on, to have an audition for Shortland Street.
Yeah.
And says, "Is anybody here an actor?" And I go, "Me, yes, Mr. Nosferatu, I am." And he goes, "How do you get into the role of a character?" And I go, I think about the choices that they would make and why they would make them. And they go, yes, very good, very empathetic. I have a series of haunted hats." And puts on a haunted hat and gets like possessed by the ghost of who was in that hat. And I was sat there just like, God damn it. That's like such a good bit. Absolutely adored that show. Next, Stamp Town.
Yes.
Stamp Town came to us from the great New York City, baby.
That's right, the Big Apple.
The big ol' Apple. So big that they threw an apple and smashed it with a microphone directly
in front
of us.
That's right. This was a crazy show. Now, this is the rare occasion we've both seen a show. Harry's seen it too, but is off doing something very helpful.
Thank you, Harry.
That was a wild ride.
The jokes per minute of that show it felt like of being shot with a different machine gun. Like, the rate of fire in that show was off the charts.
That's right. And there was even it was a kind of a group show.
Yes, it was like a variety comedy cabaret.
Yeah, and there was even a guy who tried to do as many jokes as he could in 60
seconds. Which was very impressive.
Yeah.
And some jokes that I shan't repeat here, but were very good jokes.
Yeah, it was a kind of night where you were laughing at things you probably wouldn't normally allow yourself to laugh at.
Yeah, I think once you hear more than, you know, 50 jokes in the span of 5 minutes, I think you just sort of, your brain stops comprehending and just starts laughing.
You can't file them into appropriate or inappropriate.
Exactly.
You're just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. A comedian is being funny and I'm going to laugh at it.
Yeah.
But again, a very intense show.
Yeah.
Intense both like performance wise and also what is it? You know, sound and light wise.
Yeah.
They went from 0 to 10 so many times show. There was mime, there was stand-up, there was song, there was burlesque. Yeah. There was live fire on stage.
Yes, love fire.
Love fire. One of the first times I've seen fire used to that, like fire poi, like swinging and fire eating and fire breathing, all on the Rangatira stage. First time I've seen fire in Q Theatre.
Fire smearing on yourself.
Fire smearing on yourself in the middle of a burlesque performance, which was, you know, some people say that burlesque is hard. You haven't seen it with fire. I've been a big fan of Stamptown for a while, having seen their, and Zach Zucker, who's the host and comedian that runs it, having seen a lot of his bits on TikTok and Reels and just kind of seen him online, so it was really cool, I felt, to be in the space to see those bits live.
It was because it's an interesting one with Zach Zucker, because his character's name is Jack Tucker, but his real name is Zach Zucker. So this guy has got the craziest name ever, Zach Zucker. And has decided to create an alter ego called Jack Tucker, whose name is more normal, but presumably his character, he is more crazy.
I would really hope that he's not that crazy in real life. Just, you know, for his own sanity. I do. He did train at the Lecoq School of Clowning, I believe, or the Cocteau School. One of the French clowns.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it. So he's definitely a level of crazy, because to go to clown school in France, two things that you've got to have a couple of screws loose to be able to get through.
It was a wild show. And the only other thing I've seen so far at the Comedy Festival is Barney Duncan and Ella Hope Higgins.
How was that?
I loved it. It was so fantastic. There was like these long... It wasn't a silent show, but there were long periods of kind of like mime segments that, and the mimes got more and more surreal. Like there were these classic sort of restaurant sketches where, you know, things get more and more crazy, but they're more and more absurd crazy. And sort of tap dance without moving and all sorts of things that I had never seen before. So it was a show that
tap dance
they had
without moving. It's
yeah,
wild.
You have to wait and see.
I will.
Hopefully
please
bring
it back, Barney.
So yeah, it was really great. I'm a big Barney fan.
Love it.
Sorry, and don't mean to hijack, but that's no. My little offering.
Beautiful offering. Thank you so much. Yum 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 yum. next, I'm going to talk about Macbeth Inc., which is currently on at the Factory Theatre until the 22nd of this month.
Where is that?
The Factory Theatre is in Onehunga.
Right.
It's just around the block from the Dolphin Theatre and just down the road from the train station. So if you get the train all the way to Onehunga, you can pop out, see a show at Factory, which is Macbeth meets American Psycho.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's an interesting premise. I think that perhaps the world is working against the show a little bit. I think that there's a really cool and interesting idea here, and I think that the cast are really giving it as much as they can. The Hamish, who is playing Macbeth, is doing a really stellar performance.
Yeah.
That is kind of taking this, you know, Macbeth character and melding it with this Patrick Bateman type, to the point that they've got, you know, the clear rain jackets and the axe murdering and the hey Paul. It's very, very American Psycho, but I think it wants to be more American Psycho. But it's too Macbeth.
Okay.
So my hot take for this one is that I really hope that they use this show as like a development season and go away, rework the script to like completely adapt it to fit the world of American Psycho, 1990s, early 2000s, CEO, corporate America. Because I think that there's a really interesting idea of, you know, Macbeth, the story of power and ambition, versus American Psycho, the story of, you know, psychotic ambition. There's something really fun there, and I just don't think that this show is quite working. But I do encourage people to go and see it and make up their own minds, but also to see how you can take an idea like this on its own face, you know?
Is this an embossed business card I see before me?
See, and that's the kind of thing that I wish they had done. It is, but they are saying, is this a dagger I see before me?
Right.
I was really like, my sure,
at least axe.
Yeah, right?
Is this an axe?
Yeah. My biggest dream for the show was that Lady Macbeth would be doing her out damn spot scene, and she would be rifling through tax returns, like trying to find the one dot that she's missed and something like that. I think that there's really, you know, there's so much that this world could have given us.
Oh, next time.
Yeah, next time. But also, we've got more shows.
Yep.
Play Fight by Silo.
Has
opened just these last couple of days.
Great cast.
Phenomenal cast. It is three performers. It's in the round again. This is the second Silo show in the round, but this one is at Silo Hall on East Street.
Oh, cool.
So it's this old reconfigured Pacifica church.
Yeah.
So the space is gorgeous.
Yeah,
the
cool.
Set is beautiful. They've got these like brown paper bags that have been crunched and rustled to look like autumn leaves.
Oh, wow.
Suspended in the air, and then a tree that's made of like silver scaffold pipe.
Oh.
Kind of in the center of the room, and the whole play revolves around this tree and these three girls that grow up from they're in high school. I think it begins and they're in year 12, so they're 15, and then it goes to the main body, ends with them in year 13, or maybe it starts a little bit younger, but I think it's like from the ages of like 14, 15 to like 17, 18, and then jumps a little bit later as well. But I don't want to spoil too much about where it goes, because
you've seen it.
I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I went and saw it with my friend, and we both left it so deeply impacted by this show, just kind of talking to each other about all of the different life stories that this show has brought back up. And I think that that is the really incredible thing about this, is that it is such a, at its heart, simple story told so beautifully, profoundly, and effectively.
Mm.
It covers... I do think that my biggest criticism is that I think that they could have been a bit more thorough with their content warnings. I think that this show, because it is about consent, it's about, it covers childhood sexual assault.
Right.
Because it's about these girls kind of coming to terms with their body and like their growing relationship with their bodies and with each other and with their sexuality and with how the world, how they are seen by the world and how they see the world. I think that if you were ever a teenage girl and had a relationship with your body, or just kind of if you were a teenager and watched porn when you were a bit too young, or like had an experience that you look back on and you think, I learned something from that, and what I learned is that I probably shouldn't have done that, I think you will get something really incredible out of this show. But I do suggest that you look up the content that is in this and make sure that you go into it prepared.
Sure.
'Cause yeah, beautiful, beautiful show. But I think that when I sat down in that space, I just wasn't quite ready for what came.
Right.
But yeah, I adored it. I applaud the performances, the designers, the directing was across the board fantastic.
Cool. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And then really quick, because we've got a little surprise
we got to do.
I just want to touch on one show that's coming up at Pitt Street from Wednesday 20th to Saturday the 23rd. We have How to Catch a Grim Reaper, which is put on by Stray Theatre Company.
Cool.
So this is about a group of uni students that accidentally catch death, the Grim Reaper, in their lounge. And it's a comedy of errors in what happens when you have an awesome spirit of power just in your spare room, and how you react to that. It's got a full cast. It's heavy comedy. It's very funny, and
it's very comedy.
It's very comedy.
Yeah.
It's being billed as a comedy horror. It's like comedy horror in like 0.3 little. Was told that it's in the same vein of like Shaun and the Dead.
That's the thing I was thinking of.
Yeah, where it's these like ordinary people reacting to this very extraordinary circumstance. I'm very excited to see it. They said that the fight call for the show, so the stunt rehearsal that takes place before show doors open, is as long as the show is.
Whoa.
Which blew my mind and has immediately piqued every interest in me. So I highly recommend keeping your eyes out for that
Grim
one.
Reaper.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you've got also You've done an interview, and this is very exciting.
It is.
We're about to play it. Would you like to intro it real quick?
So this is somebody that I have looked up to for a very long time. She is coming to Auckland twice this year, once on the 20th at the Civic Theatre for her remix tour, and then for a few nights in July with her solo show of Hamlet. A couple of weeks ago, I was very, very lucky to interview Susie Eddy-Izzard.
So, yes, I have this beautiful thing that's unusual. I don't think anyone's done this before. I'm claiming it, that an actor has come in, a performer actor has come in and done a surreal comedy tour in May, and then June, July, come back and done The Tragedy of Hamlet. And I'm saying to people, buy two tickets for the price of two. What a great bargain that is.
Yeah.
And you can see that, just as Shakespeare went from his comedies to his dramas and tragedies, so am I. So people can see the transition of my career. As a trans person, transition, the movement in my career.
Well, that's actually, it's something that I wanted to ask you about, because there is such a journey that we're seeing you take kind of live in front of us, because it's the first 35 years in one show, correct?
Now 37. So I started in
87 years.
March of 88 was when I started stand-up. Yes, I'm doing my mathematics here, because as I keep touring, the remix, the remix tour could be a tour forever, but it's also just like bands are doing. You know, bands are saying, here's an old one, and here's a new one, and here's an old one. So that's what I can do.
I think it's really cool, and it's not something that, like, because I've been saying, like, it's a greatest hits tour. It's like all of your favorite bits. Is it at any point sort of refreshed?
Exactly, that's why it's called the remix, because it is remix. Yeah. Death Star Canteen is in there, but Daphne du Maurier is also in that scene, which she wasn't in the first one. I like the fact, because I need to keep it alive for myself, and that's how we're doing it.
So do you find that there is a difference in yourself when you're doing the comedy show versus when you're doing the Hamlet show? I mean,
yeah.
we're looking at your, like, history and your transition through your also doing, like, so many characters in Hamlet. You're jumping between the full cast. So
well, let's,
where do you...
I would say on the... Because there's 23 characters which people grab hold of and go with, but that is... Some of them are just one-liners. So it's really 9 characters, which is still... Is it 7 or 9? I think it's 9 characters. I worked it out and I kind of keep forgetting. Oh, well, yeah. The Gravedigger's going to be... He's a character.
Oh, of course. Anyway. What is... Because especially when you're saying, like, an audience come see both and get this, like, full range of... Yeah, what are the contrasting differences? Like, what...
I would say Hamlet is more difficult because I keep... My stand-up, I keep quite conversational so that I can drive through an ad lib and go in this place and keep the fear away, because I do my stand-up in French and German and Spanish as well, so that really... But comedically, I can go wherever I want, and dramatically now, I can take Great Expectations, my previous show, and... Hamlet wherever I want. So on stage, I'm very at home on stage. And then you come to the Hamlet, and it's dramatically landing each character in the place they are in their arc. That is the very tricky thing, I think, to do it. When Hamlet is attacking Ophelia or making show of the fact that he is mad. Look at see the madness that I have in me. And not really caring that Ophelia is really struggling under this. And Ophelia is saying, you know, she's underwritten. Her and Gertrude are underwritten. So we wanted to make her as feisty as we could. And then to be inside her, be the Ophelia, the young girl that I would have been, young woman that I would have been if I'd grown up in a woman. So just to play all these characters in that place and do it and land it and make it work. So, and we sold so well in the UK on the UK tour. And now we're here in coming to New Zealand and Auckland and Wellington, we will be performing. So I love doing it. And it's over 250 performances now. So anyway, we're looking at that.
Well, that is just a snippet of an interview between Laika and Susie Eddy-Izzard, who is coming here soon. You can hear the full interview on BFM Bcast on the website. I've got a quick ad break, and then we're going to have the news, weather, and surf. So let's go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.